Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over there at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Hey, this Friday, June 17th, there's an all-new music happy hour going on over there, 12 to 8, 10% off any purchase, free Four Hands beer for those of age, and new vinyl in store from Red Hot Chili Peppers, Radiohead, Star Wars Awakens, The Force Awakens soundtrack, Mumford & Sons, Pentagram, Sonic Youth, Apocalyptica, and a lot more. So come out, check it out. New records, lots of great local selection as well. Tons of used and new vinyl, CDs, and tapes. And they're always looking to add new local stuff to the shelf. So if you have a band or a CD that you want to sell, reach out and see how you can make that happen. Find more information about all of this at musicrecordshop.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Carson. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. I play with the Scandal Arrows and Oak Steel and Lightning and Tumbleweeds and a bunch of other groups. Come see me play out sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Listen as much as you can, because Shane here knows what he's doing.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out in Music Record Shop in the Grove with Carson Mann. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is technically your second appearance on the show. You jumped in on the end of Phil Wright's episode when we were talking about
one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah, and that was a wild night, man. We tried to knock it out at Halo Bar. I believe you guys were playing a set after Jake's Leg or something.
Around, yeah, I think it was Jake's Leg
over there. And so anyway, it was like it got a little wild, it got a little loud, but we made it work. And
well, Phil and his people always bring the shenanigans, which is what I love about them.
Yeah,
best people on earth.
Sure, man. Anyway, so I wanted to. You know, we've been talking. I've been actually getting to hang with you guys quite a bit, especially working at the Oyster Bar and stuff. You got you and Phil come down there quite a bit playing and things.
It's a great music venue.
Yeah.
I mean, you would go there to see a band, no matter who it is. We were just talking about Cluster Pluck.
Yeah.
Aaron Cam and the One Drops.
Yeah, a lot of talent.
Art Holiday and the East Side Rhythm Section. I forget how you say the last half of that. But
East Side
they're
Rhythm.
A great band.
Yeah,
you know,
East Side Rhythm,
what's the one? Southern Exposure with Neil and John from, I guess they call themselves the Mighty Pines.
Yeah.
But always great bands at the Broadway Oyster Bar.
For sure, man.
No better place to be.
Yeah. So, we've been hanging out, and I wanted to, like, sit down and talk more about some of your music and what all you're involved in, and give your proper episode. So
right on.
So here we are today, man. So
happy to be here.
Yeah, we
really am.
Carson just did a little live in store here at Music Record Shop, and
which is a great record shop.
Yeah,
it's one of the best in town, or at least the only ones I know of. And it's awesome.
proud sponsor of Rock Paper Podcast.
Heck yeah!
So come
find some great music in here, man.
Definitely. So we're working on, we got a big push today. We're going to talk about your Oak, Steel, and Lightning EP you guys have been working on.
Yeah.
We got a release
date. Very excited about it.
Release date set, party set, booked.
June 25th, Old Rock House. Can't wait.
Yeah, man.
Got some great bands on there, too. The Doc Ellis Band, Woodshine from Washington, Missouri, Aesop, Grassi, and Haley, and then ourselves, of course. It's going to be a great night of music, man.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to getting that disc out. It's my first record.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the first thing I've ever really been a part of. So, needless to say, very excited about it, man. Can't wait.
For sure, yeah. That's exciting, man.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It really is, man. I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. I can't even tell you. It's awesome. I mean, my plan's on it. My singing's on it. And
yeah.
It's mine, and I couldn't be more proud of it. Well, it's ours, but
right.
I'm a part of it and very proud.
Yeah, you guys all write together, or do you write songs?
Ryan is the primary songwriter so far, and you know we collaborate a lot. I get a song in there every now and then, and I collaborate with him. So there's a couple of co-songwriting credits, if you want to call it that. But yeah, man, I mean it's definitely a collaborative process, and I couldn't be more happy to be a part of it. It's awesome. We write some great songs about tell some great stories, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had a real good time hanging with Ryan a while back at his apartment, getting to know him a little bit better and talk about...
He's a character.
Yeah. Getting to talk about the band and everything, too. And he... I think he said that you came up with the name, the Oak Steel and Lightning name?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like any naming process. Right. I've kind of got a few stored back there, and so... Yeah, I just threw it out there, man. Because for me, it's a metaphor for the guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly they're made of ash and maple, not really oak. Oak's not really a wood you'd make guitars out of, but, you know, you can't really say ash stealing lightning, you know, or maple stealing lightning. Oak just rang better. And so, yeah, it's a metaphor for the electric guitar.
Yeah, man.
And that's what I was thinking when we threw it out there, and it just stuck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's... I think that's a neat idea. I like the name and what it stands for and stuff.
But yeah, man. Well, the music is organic. You know, I mean, it's kind of outlaw country, if you will, but there's some Southern rock, some Americana. I mean, Ryan, he's a prolific songwriter.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff he writes, he really tells the story, man. And, you know, to be able to help that along and to be a part of something that's so original in some ways. I mean, truly original.
Yeah,
it's an honor, man. I just couldn't be more happy to be a part of the project.
Sure. One thing I was thinking, you know, speaking of Southern rock, and I saw you a little while back. You did a appearance with Sean Cannon and the Voodoo Players on a Wednesday night doing Allman Brothers.
Oyster Bar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oyster Bar doing Allman Brothers stuff, and like, but man, that was just a real treat. That whole night was just awesome, but. Seeing you play guitar up there doing those songs, which I, you know, some of my favorites all time. I, you know, I'm a huge.
Well, it's the music I grew up listening to. You know, Dickie Betts, kind of shifting gears, but Toy Caldwell and Marshall Tucker Band.
Yeah.
That's the stuff I grew up listening to, man. So
right.
To get a chance to play it with a fantastic group of musicians. I mean, it's primarily Sean Cannon, who, in my opinion, is one of the best in town.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't take nothing away from that dude. He plays with the Schwag. He does Falling Fences. Sometimes he gets together with Pat Kay and does something called the Hat Trick. I mean, he's a prolific musician.
I think
stuff he does with Joe Stickley in Falling Fences is really good.
I think awesome. I think Bachman's back together.
Are they?
I think
Andrew Weir. I forget what's the rest of it. That's a great band, dude.
I think he's doing
St. Louis has got a lot of talent, man.
For sure.
We were talking about Emily Wallace and what's her name? Hillary Fitz?
Yeah, Hillary Fitz.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff, man. Just all so good.
Yeah.
You know? And to be here and be a part of that, dude, it's an honor. So thank you, Shane.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, man.
Right on.
Otherwise, it can be weird. Me and... me just hanging out on the microphone and Dan over there.
Listening. Are we going to talk about aliens yet?
We can. So are you originally from St. Louis?
I was born in Dogtown.
Okay.
At the old Deaconess Hospital, which I think is a parking lot now.
Okay.
And, but I spent a lot of my formative time, you know, weekends, spring break, summer, stuff like that, in a little town called Eolia, Missouri, and that's where my grandparents are from, and so I'm kind of halfway raised by them, and so that's definitely a part of the origins, if you will.
Sure.
So, and I'm very proud of it, you know, I mean, learned a lot about living and self-sufficiency and what have you from, you know, the old school, you know, I mean, because my grandpa, Champ Grimes, he was a, you know, great man.
Right.
Taught me a lot about how to live.
Yeah, man.
And so.
Yeah, I think, I'm sure that was quite a bit different, especially, being raised by grandparents.
Sure. Well, my folks worked. Yeah. You know, my mom, she worked 60 hours a week as a RN up there at Barnes Hospital. And yeah. My dad was a security guard. So, I mean, you know, I mean, just like lots sure. of folks. You mean, yeah. you're not, how are you going to pay for child care?
Yeah.
You know, so grandma and grandpa, fortunate for me, yeah. they stepped in there and kind of filled in the gap, if you will.
Right. But yeah, they have a totally different thing than your parents, and so it's like you kind of being raised in their habits and stuff, and like that old school mentality kind of way of life, and
you got to work for what you want.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You get out of it what you put into it.
Sure.
I snorted on that one.
Oops. Where did the music start coming into play then?
Well, you know, that comes from my dad. And that was sort of a difficult thing because, you know, him and my grandpa, it was a source of contention for them. They had an FM radio show in Flat River, Missouri. And they got, long story short, they got an invite to the Grand Ole Opry. And my grandpa got sick. My dad didn't want to do it anymore. So, you know, music wasn't necessary. I mean, music could have really stopped for me there, and I would have never played. You know, I would have never picked up a guitar. But in my adolescence, I wanted to meet girls, and I knew that playing guitar was a good way to grease the wheels, so to speak. And so I got my dad, talked him into teaching me a few things, you know, just learning how to play. And, you know, long story short, 25 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, fifth generation. Of man, family, musician.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice, man.
But they were all fiddle players before, too. My grandpa Marvin and my great grandpa and namesake Carson Mann, they were all fiddle players. Mm. And it's kind of an interesting story. I was just saying about that FM radio show that they had in a little town called Flat River, Missouri. My grandpa taught my dad to play some chords and sing. And as fate would have it, Hank Williams Sr.'s tour bus was passing through the county, and it was a Sunday morning radio show, and happened to catch that show, and Hank Williams Sr. got together with his tour manager, got in contact with my grandpa, and that turned into a backstage meeting with Hank Williams Sr. And it's kind of an interesting story, actually, if you don't mind my elaborating.
Yeah, no, of course.
And so anyway, they're standing there with a couple other people waiting for the meet and greet, you know, and here comes Hank Williams Sr. in the rhinestone suits, looking like a disco ball, big as life, you know. Right. Hank Williams Sr., right?
Yeah, man.
And my dad introduces himself, and he's like, "My name's Randall." And Hank Williams Sr. thinks, "Oh, man, that's the greatest name in the world. I love that name, Randall. That's awesome." And as my dad tells the story, about 9-12 months later, Randall Hank Williams Jr. is born.
All
so,
right.
As my dad would spin it, Bocephus is named after my father.
Yeah. Huh. That's
there's a lot I was going to say, man. It's a long tradition, you know, and I'm very proud of that, too, you know.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, I wish I was a fiddle player, because apparently my grandpa was pretty good, but I do all right on the guitar.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. What, is it just, has it always been guitar for you then? Or did
I mean, I dabble with some mandolin, and I have my grandpa's fiddle, and so, you know, I've tuned it up and kept some strings on it and trying to learn a little bit. But bowing an instrument and picking an instrument are two totally different worlds. So hopefully one day I'll play a little fiddle. But for right now, guitar is pretty much it. I dabble in everything. So.
Yeah. My dad had violins around the house and fiddles. And then we had a piano that he would occasionally, play. But it was like pretty much all he knew was the old-time rock and roll opening and stuff.
Like Jerry Lee Lewis or something, the killer.
And he would, his mostly was a guitar and harmonica. It was his, favorite. You know, he played, would sit in on blues or bluegrass open mics and stuff and jam with some guys and did some things. But I don't know. So he played quite a bit, but I never really got into it. Never had a natural knack to pick up an instrument and play.
Well, you know, the bug just bit me, man. Yeah. When I picked up a guitar, like I said, I was learning to play so I could meet girls.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was tactics involved there.
Sure.
You know, I had an ulterior motive, if you will. And, you know, but man, once I started playing, once I realized I could play along with some of these records,
It was Bob Marley's Legend, and it was a album that Stevie Ray Vaughan did with his brother Jimmy, called Family Style. And there's, I think it's the fifth track on that record, and the name of it is, but it's like Blues from Mars on the Fifth Green or something like that. But it's an instrumental track.
Okay.
And so I learned I could play along with that.
Right.
And that's where it started, man. Bug just bit me, and from then on, I was ready to play, man. And that kind of helped me develop my ear, too. You know, I mean, I was able to just kind of listen and learn.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I just saw a video the other night of Stevie Ray doing Voodoo Child, and I don't know, it just like, it was really a cool live video from
one of the greats.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of on the subject, but I feel like, you know, for me, I trace everything back to its source. And so I discovered Stevie Ray Vaughan, but that led me to Jimi Hendrix. And the point I was going to make is that I feel like Jimi Hendrix's legacy split in two directions, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Prince. You know, I mean, the theatrics and the presentation and everything, that's Prince, you know. I mean, just and an amazing musician in his own right. I mean, an amazing singer, amazing guitar player. Then Stevie Ray Vaughan, too, you know. And I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan obviously paid homage, too, with Little Wing and some of his covers of Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
But I really feel like that's kind of where I come in, too, you know. I mean, I listen to the influences, and then those influences kind of come together, and that I feel like that kind of makes me, you know. And it should show my influences, but hopefully it's enough that it's sort of an earmark, you know.
Right.
And when you hear me, you know it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very thankful for the culmination of my influences.
Sure. Yeah, I had a nice discussion the other night with Roland Johnson.
Oh, yeah, great singer.
Yeah.
Talk about the blues and stuff and set this town, man. He's one of the greats. Maybe the best. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he is as good as anybody.
They got a brand new record coming out, and it's unreal. Like, they gave me a copy to listen to, and it's something special.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's I mean, what can you say? I mean, like I said, there's maybe no better blues soul vocalist in this town. And if you have a chance to go see that dude, comes highly recommended.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But what I liked, you know, I kind of touched on what you were just saying there, though, listening to that record, like, you know, it sounds like a Roland Johnson record, but you're, like, picking out things like, oh, that kind of sounds like, you know, a little Temptations or
Otis Redding. Yeah, you hear that bits in there.
You hear those things where you can kind of pick out his influences, but ultimately it sounds like a Roland Johnson
just
record.
Just like him, yeah. So no doubt about it. It's it really is. And when I hear it Roland Johnson's sound, it's unmistakable.
Yeah.
And I got to say, you know, getting back to Sean Cannon and Mike Aguirre, Jim Peters. I mean, there's so much great music in this town. And to think that, you know, I mean, I'm a part of that in some small way is a very humbling experience. And, again, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but something I couldn't be more proud of to be some small part of. Because, man, there's so much great music in this town. It's awesome. I'm seriously, if I didn't play, I'd probably be doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, being a part of it in some small way, you know, I mean, picking out the good bands and being a part of that community in some small way, I mean, it's an awesome thing to be a part of.
No, that's exactly why I was a fan of all these people, and they all became my friends, and it's like...
That's how it got started, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, I wanted to help, you know, whatever way I could. Obviously, you know, I don't play, so it's like
But it's an integral part of what's going on,
sure.
Man. I mean, you give people a voice, you give them a format, you know, and man, that's just as vital,
sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah,
you know,
it is cool to see people responding and how many people want to be a part of their show and everything and it makes me feel good that to be included in this.
Well,
in
I
some
hope
way,
so, man. Because like I said, I mean, it's vital.
Yeah.
I mean, as important as a club owner or talent buyer, whatever you want to call it, the musicians themselves, the artists that, you know, show up and do live painting or whatever it is that you might find. I mean, it's a community, man. And it's just awesome to see St. Louis, you know, be so, you know, vital.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
I mean, as good as anybody. I was having this conversation on Facebook. I'm on Facebook a lot, by the way. And I will tell you that St. Louis's music scene, I don't care who it is, Austin, New York,
L.A., you name the biggest music towns in the country, and St. Louis is by or none is as good as anybody's any day of the week, all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because there's so much variety and there's so much like top shelf talent too, man. Yeah. I mean, Roland Johnson, dude. I mean, that's $60 shop whiskey. You know, I mean, that's the top shelf stuff, man. I mean, I go anywhere else and find better than that. You know, find anything better than Sean Cannon and what he does with Falling Fences and the Hat Trick. There ain't that, just ain't no better. You know, Phil Wright and them, man. I mean, you know, they're all just excellent talent. I mean, even the cover bands in this town, Jake's Leg, the Swag with Sean Cannon. I mean, just even the cover bands are good.
Right.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that, hey, how you doing? Sure. And then, yeah, that's,
got a little excited there. Sorry.
that's kind of what thing I was saying with Roland is, and talking about that record that him and Paul Niehaus put together.
Yeah, he was a great player.
Yeah, Paul's an incredible musician and you know, friend of the show and everything too, and
real nice guy too.
But we were saying how what I thought was neat about it, the whole record, was that they did it all right here in St. Louis. Like, it's you know, people, again, you were talking about Austin and these cities, but people get these, you know, the stars in their eyes. They think like, oh, I have to get out of, you know, this hometown and make it in some other city and stuff, but it's like, you can do it right here at home.
It's the 21st century, man.
Yeah.
I mean, with technology being what it is, I mean, you can almost do whatever you want anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
You know, just plug in.
Yeah.
As long as you're good.
Sure.
You know, and again, there's no better. I mean, we're at least as good as.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Any day of the week.
So what was your first show? Do you remember?
My first show was with a local group called Alabaster Brown. And, well, actually, go even farther back than that. It was with a group back in the 90s called River Tribe. And that was my first ever original project. In fact, there's a couple of musicians that are from that still play here in town. One specifically is Dennis Ward. He's a bass player. He plays with a group called the One Take Band. And that was probably my first ever gig at the Red Sea. I don't even know if it's there anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be a place called the Red Sea in the University City Loop.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
Owned by a couple of Ethiopian fellows.
All right.
But then fast forward 10, 15 years, my first kind of recent local gig, if you will, was with a group called Alabaster Brown. And it was a little joint called The Shanty in Soulard.
Yeah,
and
another place.
A lot of great acts come out of that. Devin Allman,
yeah.
Another great local kind of celebrity, if you will.
Yeah,
all kinds of great groups. Speaking of another great tribute act, Mom's Kitchen.
Yeah,
played there a lot. JR and Kyle, and they're all great. Chuck,
yeah.
I love them all, man. Brian, fantastic drummer.
Yeah, I got to hang with Devin a while back on the show, and he's become a buddy, and it's just. It's exciting.
Speaking of family legacy.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's the thing. Like, some people want to, you know, mention his dad, which, I mean, obviously is a huge part of who he is and everything, his family
sure.
and stuff. But it's like, you know, he got where he is by working his
sure,
butt
well,
off
the
too.
Shanty.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I was saying about Alabaster Brown. And that sort of gave me a chance to cut my teeth, which I'm sure, you know, to some degree that's what he was doing, you know. You kind of go through the growing pains a little bit, but you have this, again, I mean, you know, Piglet and Teresa, who owned and operated the shanty, I mean, they're not players, they're not musicians, but man, I mean, they brought all this talent in, and they gave it an opportunity to grow and to flourish, and personally, I mean, I won't speak for Devin there, but personally, man, I will always be in their debt, you know, because they gave me a chance to grow. They gave me a chance to learn. They gave me a chance to believe in myself. And, man, I'm telling you, I mean, I'll always think the highest of them folks for that reason right there. And they don't have to play a note,
right.
You know. And that's part of the community, man. That's all I'm saying. It's I'm just thrilled to death to be here, man, because you know, I mean, I look up to what you do, man. I mean, you know, you got a lot of people to come on here, a lot of great local talent. I mean, stuff that people who I respect. So,
yeah.
You know, just to be here talking to you, man, is a privilege.
Well, thank you, Carson.
Well, you know, call him like I see him, man.
It means a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope so, because I'll tell you, it comes from the heart. Yeah. And that's way how it is with most things in my life, man. I mean, my philosophy, my outlook on the universe, getting into aliens. I mean, it's all directly connected to truth.
Yeah.
You know, what I see is the truth. And I'm happy to be a mouthpiece for the truth.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you said aliens.
I know there's a lot of people that are out there that are intrigued by my opinion of the aliens.
So I throw these up on Facebook. I ask friends and fans to participate if they had any questions for you. And I feel like a lot of these are probably mostly inside jokes kind of things.
Well, aliens is kind of an inside joke.
Yeah, but let's.
But there's some truth into that jest.
Let's elaborate on some of these here.
Well, what it is I've learned to see existence for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, human beings, everything in the universe, everything that has mass is simultaneously finite and simultaneously infinite. In a world of infinite possibility, anything can happen, you know?
Yeah.
So the possibility of aliens is more of a reality than it is a possibility, you know? I mean, considering what we know of the universe, what we can see of the known universe, what's observable, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, you start to look at things in a much different way than just this three-dimensional construct that we call our day-to-day lives.
Right.
You know, and you start to lay that truth on some people, and it can get a little weird.
Yeah,
you know, because you're talking about, you know, astrophysics, man, subatomic particles, ancient Mesopotamia. I just said ancient Mesopotamia. You know, I mean, it really is. That's what it comes down to, man. I mean, it's the way you view the world, and things being more than what they are.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just again the truth. You know, I'm not saying that because I want to believe it. I'm just saying it because it seems to me like the most logical conclusion. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's really it. It really is.
So we got some of these questions for you here. Drew wants to ask you, where do I buy a cool hat?
Well, I have a hat, and it's the only hat I really own or wear. And it was bought in Memphis, Tennessee, in a little place, oddly enough, called Mr. Hat. And it was the last hat in the whole store that I tried on. And so that's why I tell people that hat followed me home from Memphis, Tennessee, because I literally tried. I've got a huge head.
Right.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. I think it's like 7 5/8, but it's a big melon. I mean, you know, you're not just going to find a hat for that.
I wear 8 1/4.
There you go. You know what I'm talking about. They got to get the calipers out,
right.
You know, how big your head is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just tried everything on, man. It was the process of elimination, the random nature of the universe.
Sure.
The hat just found me as much as I was looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, so there really is no ulterior, there's no motive per se. You know, it's just a matter of I want a hat and the right hat will find me. You know, I want to be a part of a good group. The good, best group will find me, you know. And speaking of one of the, I'm a part of a couple projects, Scandaleros, play with Thunder Biscuit Orchestra and Phil Wright, and I'm very happy to be a part of those projects. But one of the things I'm very proud of is this group, Oak, Steel, and Lightning. Ryan Kemp, Jason King, Son of Ill Repute, Wayne and Bowden, all good people. It's a great band. Try to write our original songs. That's the best part of it, man.
Right.
I mean, we sit down and we collaborate. Ryan's like, hey, I got this idea. What do you think? You know, we can add this. I do the same thing in reverse, you know. And he's like, well, maybe if you add a bridge or something like that there. And, you know, the songs start to develop together. And so I'm very proud of that project. I'm really looking forward to the EP release that we're doing on June 25th.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've mentioned, we've already talked about it, but Doc Ellis Band, that's Jesse Irwin and Tim Sullivan and all the guys in that group, great band. I mean, if you like, you know, good country music with just like, I don't know, to me, Jesse Irwin's a brilliant lyricist. There's a little bit dark, a lot of dark humor in it, but man, I mean, it's so intelligent.
so intelligent. Yeah. And so I'm really happy to have them be a part of it. And then, you know, Andy Grassi and from Alsop, Grassi and Halley, they were there. They actually let us, Andy gave us a space to record our EP, okay. Which was, they had a house on the river that got flooded out in this flood from last winter, I guess. And, you know, so that while they're rehabilitating the house, you know, they gave us the space to record the EP, which is the EP that we're going to release.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's awesome to have him be a part of what he's doing, because he's got a co-writing credit on one of the songs. I guess you can call it the title track, Tiny Acorn.
Okay.
So it's really great to have him be a part of it. And then Woodshine, I mean, they're this great, you know, bluegrass outfit. I mean, what a mini, you know, but they're as good as anybody in their own right.
Yeah.
Real good pickers.
Yeah.
Matt Diener. All good, man. All good.
Yeah.
June. Can't say enough good things about it. Not really good. I could go on about them as much as I could by myself.
So June 25th, Old Rock House. Come out, grab that EP. And then, so yeah, we'll have physical copies, and I'm sure it'll be on...
We have little download cards or whatever you call them with the, you know, the... the link
yeah.
or whatever you need
the digital,
to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not technologically inclined, so I'm hunting for words here. Yeah. But yeah, it's all there, man, and I'm pretty sure it's included in the cost of admission. So,
oh, nice.
I mean, it's going to be like a door prize, man.
Yeah, I think that's
and you know, I mean, a great offering of local music to boot. You know, right. I mean, it's not just us. So,
yeah. We got a couple other questions here. From one of your bandmates, Joseph asked, why Shady Pancakes?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a nickname.
Yeah.
Obviously. I wasn't born with it. But I'm not really sure. There's a few theories on pancakes. Well, it's a two-part story.
Okay.
You know, because pancakes... I think it's something kind of random. I mean, I have a couple theories. One of which is that I have really flat feet, and so they look like pancakes stacked on the ground.
Right.
The other one is that it's just completely random, which is just like, you know, what's up, dude? You know, and then pancakes.
Yeah.
It's ombre or whatever. You just throw some random word out there. So it sticks. Pancakes, right? And one day we were outside the Venice Cafe, which I have to say is a little slice of heaven, and another gig that Scandaleros has done for a long time. And it's just a little slice of heaven.
Yeah.
I love that place. So we're outside there, and we're talking probably on set break or something. I forget what it was I said, but, you know, I mean, it was something that was off the cuff, probably a little more honest than people were ready for at the time. And Phil Wright, standing there, and he's like, that's kind of shady, Pancakes. Yeah. And so from that moment on,
right,
you know, it's been Shady Pancakes. Not just pancakes, Shady Pancakes. And, you know, hey, man,
yeah.
I mean, this is what I always tell people. Just don't call me late for dinner. You can call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah.
I like to eat. I like food, people.
Yeah, I don't miss a meal, man.
Speaking of great food, you know, the St. Louis thing. I mean, it's what makes it such a great city. Great food, great culture. I mean, yeah, there's bad things about it, sure. You know, I mean, but I think you could probably find that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe more so. It's just a matter of perception. But St. Louis is a great town, man.
Yeah. You have great a favorite food,
great music.
Your shirt says Eat Local.
Ooh, man. Well, I love sandwiches.
Yeah.
Big fan of sandwiches, big fan of tacos. You probably know that. But some of the best tacos in town, man. Let's see. I don't know. El Bronco on Cherokee is pretty damn good. Really like the Puffers at Fort Taco, man. I mean, that's a meal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that'll satisfy any appetite. And then sandwiches, the Gramophone up the street is excellent. Blue City Deli is probably one of the best. There's a few there. But, yeah, man. Those are definitely... Oh, forgot to mention, which is the St. Louis Institution. Joyous. Salami sandwich they got there at Joyous. I think I'm saying that right. And am I saying that right, Daniel? Joyous?
Joyous.
Yeah, okay, good. Joyous. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, the salami sandwich there is second to none.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
So check it out. I don't think I've ever had that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And you get it classically dressed with the pepper jack cheese and pepperoncinis and spicy mustard. Woo! So good.
Yeah, man.
So good, dude. I mean, that's right up there with the toasted ravioli. Right up there with Emo's Pizza.
I went to...
You know, ice cream was invented, or the ice cream cone, actually, was invented at the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair. Another bit of unnecessary information that might just happen to pop up in the interview randomly.
You never know what you're going to get.
Random nature of the universe. Aliens, y'all.
Yeah. That, I blanked. I don't know what
it's a microphone check in the background.
Yeah.
We're back next to the... Is that the ready room next door?
That's the demo.
The demo.
On that side. Yep. Ready room's on that.
Oh, okay.
That wall.
I knew we were close.
Yeah. So we got the EP release, and we played a couple of tunes live today. We played Freeway.
Freeway. Which is actually on the EP that's coming up. And then...
bye, Dan.
See you, Dan. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. The second one is Make Up Some Friends, which is on the next EP that's probably going to come out sometime this fall.
Okay. Any story behind Freeway?
Well, you know, it was a song that I started to write when I was living down in New Orleans. And, you know, it was sort of a turbulent time in my life. And so the song ended up being about, you know, just cutting loose. Whatever your baggage is, whatever it is that's weighing you down, whatever it is that's making you sad or causing you to lose sleep at night, whatever it is, just cut that loose. Get out. Go. Get it. Get on the freeway out of town.
Yeah.
You know, and do whatever you got to do to make you happy. That's what it's all about, is happiness. It reminds me of a Buddhist who I met one time. He's like, Americans measure everything in terms of gross domestic product. We measure everything in terms of gross domestic happiness. How happy are you? You know, are you genuinely happy? And so, yeah, that's what that song is about, man, is saying, you know what, I'm tired of all the BS. I'm tired of fucking with all this shit. I'm going to do what I got to do to be me and make me happy. And that's what that song is about.
Yeah.
And, it it's funny because, you know, that song is about 10 years old. And that speaks to the nature of my songwriting process. You know, I mean, it's always in a state of evolution. I'm never really married to it, per se. I mean, once it starts to sound good, well, you know, maybe I'll back off a little bit. But, you know, I'm always tweaking. I'm always trying to adjust the recipe to find, you know, just so. You know, I think that's, you know, probably what any songwriter does. Is, you know, just they either write it in the moment and that's it and let it go, or it sort of becomes a natural evolution. And that's what it is for me, you know. It's sort of a natural evolution of, you know, my thoughts or wherever it is wherever I'm at the time. You know, speaking of being in New Orleans, I was working with a guy that was, his name was Matt Resignola, and he was part of a Nashville Singer-Songwriters Association. And he would always tell me, write what you know, you know, because he was saying that's the best way to sell your lyrics, you know, is to, whatever it is, speak from the heart, you know. It don't try to tell somebody else's story or tell them what they want to hear. Talk about you, you know, and you'll find a way to make the, you know, the most sincere, genuine product, end result, you know, is from writing about your own experiences, writing about what you know.
Sure.
And so that's what I take into the songwriting process, too, is trying to be as, tell as much as I can about myself. It's called Freeway. Hit on West, back to the same old thing. Cause comedians is easy to take. Know exactly who I wanna be. With so much left in life there is to see. Cold quiet roads into town. The rain pours heavy on the car windshield. Leaving this place wouldn't be so bad. How it could be the best time we ever had. Could be on the freeway in the sunset. Oh, that that's where I wanna be. On the freeway, it's my best bet, and that's where you find me. You find not much more is to say, not much more I can do. I just know that I don't want to hate, and I know I'm not through. Put me on the freeway into the sunset. Oh, that's where I want to be. On the freeway, it's my best bet, and that's where you find me. Sunshine lights way out of here. Look up on me and I might be gone. There's a freedom I can almost taste. Oh, what the hell, no time to waste. Put me on the freeway into the sunset. Oh, that's where I wanna be. On the freeway, it's my best bet, and that's where you, that's where you, that's where you find me.
You know, because it's like Freeway or the other song, Make Up Some Friends. I mean, that was kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk about, like, you know, mental illness, but being depressed. You know, I mean, having a state of mind that's not healthy, you know, it's not good, you know, and you sort of, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, in my own personal situation, you sort of start to isolate yourself, you know, you start to sort of detach from society, you know, and then you realize, you know what, man, I'm kind of alone. Human beings Human beings are sort of a pack animal. You know, we need each other. We have a sense of community, no matter who it is, where it is. And so, you know, sometimes you'll find yourself in the darkest place, all alone, you know. But if you try to get in where you fit in, you know, you can make up some friends. And so it's never as bad as you think it is. You know, there's always some light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a glimmer of hope. Hope sure. Springs eternal, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. Most of my songs are about that, too, the triumph of the human spirit. You know, perseverance, you know, no matter how bad it gets, even if you're hitting the bottom, well, now you know where you're at, you know, and now you got a chance to go the other direction.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's what it's all about, man. I want to bring happiness into the world. I want to make the world a better place.
Coming home over the hill, wondering if I will have a drink. I've had enough of one today, so I think I'll set things straight. The car above my mind is cocaine. Cause it ain't easy when you're way down and there's no one else around. Sometimes you got to make up some friends. Cause no one's gonna give you nothing. You got to go all in. Sometimes you got to make up some friends. Yeah. My fun, out there in the sun. I pick myself back up and start all over again. Yeah, cause it ain't easy when you're way down and there's no one else around. Sometimes you got to make up some friends, cause no one's gonna give you nothing. You got to go all in. Sometimes you got to make up some. Sometimes you got to make up some. Sometimes you got to make up some friends.
And that one's off the next EP.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better way than to do that than your talent? You know, with you and the recording, or me and my music, or, you know, some other people. You know, we were talking about Leah Osborne. She's a brilliant cook, too, man.
Yeah.
Not to mention a fantastic musician, but, you know, just play to your talents. You know, whatever your strength is, whatever it is that makes you happy, whatever it is that motivates you, do it.
Yeah.
Find it and do it. And give it 110%. All day, man.
Definitely.
You know? I mean, because, you know, being a musician, especially in a town like St. Louis, which is sort of, you know, in its infancy for, you know, in terms of the musical community, it's kind of hard to get paid, you know? I mean, you don't really make a whole lot of money. And so I eat a lot of beans and rice, wear secondhand clothes. But, you know, man, I mean, if you can find a way to be happy, dude, you know,
sure.
the clothes don't make the man. And
yeah.
If you learn how to cook, you can eat cheap.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So go at it, man. Don't be afraid to make that sacrifice. That's what I would tell anybody. And,
yeah.
And to see some of my musician friends, like I always mess up his last name, but Gerard from the Mighty Pines, I think he recently left his day job to pursue a full-time venture in music. And man, I'm saying, if you can do that, please do it.
Yeah.
You're making the world a better place. You really are.
Right.
And, you know, I hope everybody does it, because I've never been happier in my life.
Yeah. No, I echo that same statement all the time. Like, I don't, you know, where I'm at now with my professional job, like, it's just, it's stability. You know, it offers a lot for that, for the pay and, you know, benefits.
And there ain't no harm in that.
Yeah. But I also... I like that it opens up a lot of the time in the evenings for me to be able to go to music and everything else.
There you go.
So I might not make a ton of money doing what I'm doing there, but the fact that I it's the happiness that I'm able to to receive afterwards. But like, it's just I used to work sit in traffic every day, and
a lot of people,
driving to work, and like that stuff would just drive me crazy. And
sure.
So I found a job much closer to home and less pay and everything.
Well, man, it's us millennials, dude.
Yeah.
We're going to change the world.
Yeah.
You know, believe it. You know, I mean, things are about to get better. No matter how bad you might think it is, you see Donald Trump's candidacy, you see some of these things happening in the world, in the Middle East, and, you know, maybe a rekindling of the Cold War with Russia. You start to get a little bit of a bleak outlook. The fact of the matter is, man, is you look at things at the grassroots level, where it is right now. And again, it's sort of in its infancy. But, man, millennials are going to change the world. I mean, it's happening everywhere, but, man, especially in this country. And I'm very optimistic about the future, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's because people want to be happy. You know, you're talking about, you know, doing what you have to do, man.
Sure.
Well, I think that's a lot of people. It's myself, it's you, it's probably everybody,
yeah.
You know, that we know, you know, is making some kind of gravitational shift towards happiness, man. And that to me, that's cause for optimism. Aliens, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, because, I mean, some of my friends, they'll start to hear me talk about that. And, you know, it's real easy to be bleak. It's real easy to be pessimistic, man. Because, again, you tune into CNN or Fox News, and, you know, it's the least common denominator. You know, there's all the reason in the world to be pessimistic. You know, I mean, it's obvious, really. It's the obvious conclusion. But if you're really objective, if you really take it for what it is, man, and you really pay attention and see the forest for the trees, you know, to me, it's the only logical conclusion. The things are totally going in the right direction, and optimism is the only way to go, man.
Right.
And I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be playing music. I'm happy to be in this place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the music record shop, dude. I mean, do you know of any other like good record stores in this town? I can't think of any. I mean, they have this kind of selection. You know, they have the different types of media, 45s, 33 and a third, CDs. And, I mean, all the greats, too. I mean, anybody you can think of, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, all the classics. There's a copy of the most recent Sturgill Simpson record over there.
Yeah, great record.
Yeah, dude. What's that one called?
Traveler,
I can't think of the name of it.
It's kind of a longer name.
Something about the map for the Earth or map, something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I remember it's like,
I mean, I love the you know the name of it? It's right over there.
Yeah,
right.
I know. I can't think of the name.
It's a great record, though, dude. It's got that cover of Nirvana on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lomar Jotes, his guitar player, he's from Estonia.
All right.
Did you know that?
That
blew me away, dude. But somebody that's such an excellent country guitar player could come from the former Eastern Bloc of the Soviet Union. You know? But here he is, dude. And that dude is as good a country style, you know, chicken picker as it gets. That dude right there, dude.
Sure. All right, man. Well, I guess we'll look to close this thing out before we get blasted out of here. We got a show coming up at the demo tonight. So
right next door.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Got a little feedback.
Yeah. But we can you can see Carson with Oak, Steel, and Lightning June 25th at Old Rock House for their EP release party.
June 25th.
Special guest, Doc Ellis Band, Woodshine, Alsup, Grassi, and Haley. 7 p.m., and then a little later, September 9th and 10th, you guys will be at Picking on the Hoosaw,
Hoosaw Valley Resort.
Yeah.
And it's a great venue, another great lineup of bands, Split Lip Brayfield, Cluster Pluck, the Mighty Pines, the Hootin' Hollers. She's so new to me, I can't remember her name. Hillary Fitz.
Yeah, Hillary Fitz.
She's on there. I think Woodshine, the Sons of Ill Repute. It's a great lineup of bands. Great lineup of local talent. Couldn't be happier to be a part of that, too.
Grass Fed Mule, Jimbo Darville.
Jimbo Darville. Hell yeah.
Jesse Irwin, Leah
Osborne.
Great group
from Colorado.
Yeah. The Old Salt Union.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Old Salt Union, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, that might be one of the best bands in town, bar none, regardless of style. I mean, they're excellent.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, that's September 9th and 10th. You can come out, camp out, hang out on the river, and listen to a lot of great music.
Oh, man. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
$60 for 2-day pass, which is nothing. I mean, you see that many bands, you know, for that kind of money.
Right.
I mean, it's then to have the atmosphere and all the what to do, you know, the floating and the camping. I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
$60 is nothing.
Sure. And then, so we got, we'll play those live songs, and then you want to drop in a studio cut from the new EP?
Yeah, man.
Well, you have a request or a particular song you want to play?
You know, there's the one that I kind of co-wrote with Ryan. It's called Little Dab. And, the lyrics are kind of self-explanatory.
Okay.
I'll let you all figure that out.
All right.
But, it's a great song, man.
Yeah. All right, well, stick around for that. And, again, pick up a copy June 25th, and then it'll be digitally everywhere after that.
Yep.
Support local music, and come see Carson also with Scandaleros and Thunder Biscuit Orchestra and all over town. You got your official Facebook page.
Well, I was going to say, Scandaleros is at the Broadway Oyster Bar on June 15th, and... you know, we play probably once a month at the Venice Cafe, and that's a great group of musicians, too. Bill Walters, Joseph Caput on the bass, one of the best bass players in town, probably. And then Phil Wright, one of my great friends, great singer, great harmonica player. You know, looking forward to all of them, much as I can play.
Yeah.
You know, plug me in and let me go.
Well, thanks so much, Carson.
Dude, it's a pleasure.
I appreciate
man.
You
Real
taking
pleasure.
Some time out.
Thank
man.
You. Thank you so much.
It really
is an honor and a privilege to be here.
Yeah, likewise, man.
I can't tell you enough, man. It's awesome.
Well, I'll see you soon, man.
All right, you take care of yourself.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.